Hi there. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO FM Community Radio 90.7. My name is Eric Bartels. Our guest today is Jeremy Okai Davis, a longtime Portland painter and artist. He's been known in the past for work that has appeared in Portland galleries primarily, but of late his work has been showing up on a larger scale in public places in Portland and elsewhere in the state. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Today, Cascadia Behavioral Healthcare will open its Garlington Center on Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Northeast Portland. In time, two of your works will adorn the walls of the Garlington Center. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, the pieces that I'm doing for the Garlington Center will be unveiled along with the ribbon cutting September 21st. I did two separate pieces that initially were supposed to be a continuous mural, but through situations beyond me, they had to be scaled down to two separate pieces. One of the pieces I did is a large scale, kind of a tall, stacked, almost a totem of hands. The hands that I used were hands that were members of the Garlington Center, like staff and employees' hands, because I wanted to show and show their hands and show that they have this like kind of open hand and welcoming policy for the center. So that's the first thing you see when you walk into the space. And then when you walk to the front door, when you walk into the front door, there's going to be a large scale mural or painting on canvas installed of the namesake, Reverend Dr. John Garlington,
who was a sort of longtime advocate for marginalized families and people in Northeast Portland, along with his wife.
Yes, Yvonne, his wife Yvonne Garlington. He was kind of a bridge between the community, homeless people, people, impoverished people, the police. He was kind of the bridge between that and like just less represented parts of Portland,
right?
And he gave them kind of a voice.
We should say just briefly, the Garlington Center is going to involve housing and support services for mental illness and addiction. It's a healthcare facility.
Yeah. They describe it as a campus. When you see it, it's amazing. They have there's going to be like a community garden in the back. There's the 52 units for former people that have kind of been pushed out of the Northeast area, the Elliott neighborhood there. People that have been addicted, formerly homeless people, they've gave priority to those people to live in the units. I worked on the piece actually in the community center at the, in the apartment. So I was able to see a lot of the people come in and out, and it's a beautiful space.
Now, public art is not something that it's kind of something you've transitioned toward. You're doing more of it. It was not always your area of interest.
Yeah.
What is the sense of obligation or the sense of responsibility that comes with having a piece that's going to be seen on a daily basis by many, many, many people?
It's interesting. For a long time, I thought as an artist, the only way to get your work out there was on gallery walls and just cross your fingers and hope people walk in and see it. So being able to transition into this public art or the public art sphere has been really interesting for me because you're dealing with the public. So in a sense, I still do the same thing that I've always done with my work because I've always wanted my work to be welcoming and understood by a large amount of people. So it was kind of a natural transition for me to start doing this work in a public space.
Now, was it just happenstance that these commissions, that these opportunities came along?
Yeah, I mean, kind of. The very first one that I did was for the Randall's Children's Hospital that opened. I think it was around 2011, 2012, somewhere in there. And that came to me. I didn't apply for that at all. Somebody was familiar with my work, and I do portraits. That's the main thing that I do. And they wanted portraits of children to be in the hospital just as kind of an inspiration for people that come and go through there.
This is at OHSU?
This is at the Randall's Children's Hospital on I think it's Vancouver in North Portland.
Okay.
It's the Emmanuel Hospital, I think, built the Children's Hospital.
And, okay.
Yeah. So this is here in Portland. Yeah.
Okay. And there have been more recently, there were large scale pieces that you did at the journalism school at the University of Oregon.
Yeah, I did. I finished those about a month ago and installed those. Yeah.
And there's another one that you mentioned.
Yeah, in 2015, this was the second public art commission I got at OSU in the Lonnie B. Harris Black Cultural Center.
Okay. Now, again, is there something that drives you? In the first case, we talk about the Garland, a healthcare facility, and the Randall Children's Hospital, mm-hmm. another healthcare facility. In the other two cases, you're talking about an educational setting.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel sort of some responsibilities as an artist to represent something? Or
I do, yeah. I mean, like I said, I work as a portrait artist, and I've always wanted to have a fidelity to my subjects that make them feel, that give them a personality beyond the canvas. So I think the work that I do presents itself in a way that is familiar to people and familiar in a public setting. So showing work in a school, showing work in a hospital, for me seems, it feels really right. It feels like that's where it's supposed to be seen.
Kind of a natural extension of the work you do, have always done.
Yeah, the shows that I've had, like I've always tried to display my work and invite people in through the work. Like they see it from afar. It's colorful, typically. So I've always wanted to draw people in. So having the work in a space that already has people kind of in and out kind of eliminates that drawing in part that I've had to do with my work. But that element, it still exists in the work. So I don't know. It sits in the spaces really well to me. And so far, the reception's been really well, really good.
There's another tradition locally that you're sort of now a part of, and that is African-American artists, other murals.
Mm-hmm.
And this goes back to the 70s. There was a project that was part of kind of a national movement to put public art in places. I think it started in Philadelphia.
Okay, yeah.
But their local African-American artists were commissioned to do some work. I don't know if any of those pieces still exist that were on Alberta Street. More recently, there is a retail complex on Martin Luther King Boulevard that has the work of
R.V. Smith.
Yeah,
and Icho.
Right,
yeah.
Two other artists. Does that resonate with you to sort of be a part of that tradition?
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, for a long time, I've seen myself as just an artist. Race be damned, like it doesn't matter what race I am. But I think recently, especially in the climate that we're living in now, it's so important to display yourself, display my cultural history, my cultural background in the work, and show work and hopefully inspire people that see it to maybe not move in the direction of being an artist, but just to express themselves.
Do you think you were going in that direction? These commissions for these public art pieces have moved you, have kind of confirmed that for you as an artist, that idea of adding a voice to the mix. Do you think you were going in that direction in any case?
I think so. But I think the public art work kind of sped that process up a little bit. And again, I think with some of the changes in the cultural climate, I think that inspired me to push myself a little bit further and get my work out to a larger audience a little quicker.
Your work hasn't always represented the African-American community. It's surprisingly for some people, much of your work depicts people from sort of a wider spectrum. And
mm-hmm.
in some cases, I think you've had to sort of field some criticism about not representing the African-American community more.
A little bit. Not necessarily criticism, I wouldn't say. But I think there was maybe a write-up at some point early on in my time in Portland that questioned me not representing as many African-Americans in my work as I do now. My life is not just as a Black man. There's a larger spectrum to me. The music I listen to, the people I hang out with, fills an incredible void to me. Like an incredible amount of different walks of life that I interact with here and there. And my work at the time focused on that my work in the past, I think I was reflecting my surroundings and what I saw on a day-to-day basis, and not necessarily looking inward. And recently, I've looked inward, and that led me to going down a path of my family history and my cultural history that made me want to look outside of myself a little bit more and what I see in my purview. Like, I wanted to reference other cultures and just dig deeper into my culture.
It's a sort of a challenging balance to have to strike. I mean, if you're an African-American artist, there's going to be some expectation from some quarters that you're going to represent your community, mm-hmm. and provide a voice that has been too scarce. But at the same time, you also have the right to, as an artist, to go wherever you want to go.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, I think, I mean, I would say my work in the past was, I'm happy with the way that it looks, but it definitely has like a, shallow is not the right word, but I think there was a superficiality to my work, but not in a negative sense. I think superficiality in a way of my viewing myself, but also just our culture as a whole had and still has a fairly superficial. So there was a lot of that in the work that I think may have gotten misconstrued a little bit.
With trips to the mall or something.
Yeah, I think the I'm not sure if you can curse on the show, but the show was called Shits and Giggles.
Right.
Yeah, and the whole point of the show was kind of like this frivolous lifestyle that we're living and kind of smiling and having fun through the muck, basically. So that's what the whole show was about, was this kind of like the way we want to be viewed is everything's okay when it's not.
You talk about the some of the subject matter in your earlier stuff as if it's kind of a past chapter. Are you leaving aside these commissions for the large scale pieces, the public pieces? Where do you find yourself in the studio now? What's sort of pulling you?
Yeah, well, I had the show last year and Education at Pear Gallery, and that show for me was the beginnings of, that work came together after the administration change. And that was me trying to figure out why I felt the way I felt with it happening. So I looked inward and I did this body of work that I described as a long form self-portrait called An Education that was portraits of friends, family, well, mostly family, just different things from my past and my history that have inspired me and made me the person that I am. I was basically doing these paintings to try to investigate how I got to where I am and how and why I feel the way I feel on a day-to-day basis.
Now, what are we likely to see going forward? You've completed the work for the pieces at the Garlington Center, mm-hmm. the stuff at the University of Oregon, the journalism school, that's all squared away.
Yeah.
Where are you now? What's next?
Well, I have a show, a group show that's happening at PCC. I don't believe the campus in Sylvania, the PCC campus there, I don't believe they have a name for it yet, but it's a group show with me, Samantha Wall, and a few other artists. I think there's about five artists in the show. So I'm doing a couple pieces for that. And those pieces are basically going to be an extension of the An Education work, mainly focusing on my father, and my brother, kind of the men of my family. Cause I've been thinking a lot about legacy and what you leave behind. Cause as of this recording, my partner and I have had a kid.
Full disclosure.
Yeah.
You have a son that's how old?
2 days old. Yeah. Yeah.
And, that certainly has the potential to kind of deepen your connection to the human condition.
For sure. Yeah. No, I found out in December that we're having a kid, and that kind of triggered this new body of work, this new thought process behind legacy and what you leave behind monetarily, or even just having a last name that kind of lives on. Because mm-hmm. My son is, well, I'm the youngest Davis of my family, so I was the last hope to basically have a young Davis son that could continue the name. So to me, that's been really, that's like the most exciting part for me. And my dad was really excited when he found out that we were having a boy.
You talked about the election, the last presidential election and the outcome there, and now your son. These are sort of events that are unrelated to your life as an artist, at least nominally.
Yeah.
And yet they seem to be sort of pushing you onto a new path.
Yeah, I think when you ask about where I'm going from here, I think that's, or what's changed, I think that's what's changed. In the past, I think I was afraid to look inward and make work that related to me or related to my immediate surroundings. And the previous work that I made, I was looking at other people and in a way kind of judging other people without looking at myself first and questioning myself first. So this current work, I've really tried to make paintings and make bodies of work that question me first, that make me think about what I'm doing before I do it a lot more.
Is this inspiring you to sort of change any of the materials you use or the techniques that you're using? You have a very recognizable style, the sort of a pointillistic.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, the way that I approach the figure is still similar to how I've always approached the figure, but I've added some different elements. I mostly paint on canvas. A lot of the work that I did personal work that I did a couple years ago was done on a panel, canvas stretched around panel so that I could adhere wood elements to it, like kind of three-dimensional elements to it. I was in a show called Recycled Rain at the Ford Gallery, and that's the show that kind of pushed me in a new direction and to try new things out, because the way they approach that show is to think outside the box a little bit, and it definitely made me think outside the box.
That was a case of being inspired by something that was suggested by the particular...
Yeah, the Recycled Rain project, I'm not going to be able to speak on it super knowledgeably, but the main stipulation with the work that you do is you have to collect rainwater and use that in the piece somehow, recycled rain. And I did that, but I also, in thinking about the recycled rain element, and I wanted to add other elements to it. So I found some wood just from like demolished houses or at the recycling center, and added that to the piece as well, which added literally added another layer to the work and added more to look at and more of a story behind it.
When you're an artist who has a sort of clearly defined or kind of a signature style, are you reluctant to sort of move away from it, to sort of give it up?
I think so, a little bit. The main thing that I have, I wouldn't say given up, that I've kind of moved away from in my personal work is kind of the bright colors. Like I've recently kind of toned down on the bright colors that I use, mainly to kind of reference where we are now in society. Like, it's not all fun and games anymore. So I wanted to make the viewer, when they see the work, I didn't want to give off this like kind of happy-go-lucky vibe. So the colors have changed a little bit. But again, the way that I approach the figures will stay. I don't have any plans to change that.
So either thing could happen. You could be sort of motivated to try something that's kind of outside of your familiar zone by circumstances, by the challenge of the Recycled Rain exhibit. Or it could just be part of what you're feeling at any given time.
Yeah, and it's all project-driven also, depending on what message you're trying to get across. It's the right tool for the right job, kind of that idea.
Talk a little bit about sort of circling back to the representation of African-American artists of color in Portland. This is always an issue in Portland with its relatively small population of people of color. You've been here for 12 years. You're a North Carolina native. Did you grow up in North Carolina?
I grew up in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay.
Yeah.
What have you seen in your 12 years in Portland? Do you see a community that's becoming more open, more diverse, more open to the idea of being diverse?
For sure. Yeah, no, I definitely see a change in the community. Art-wise, not necessarily. There is a change art-wise, but more, I'd say, musically, I've seen a lot more, like, DJs, and a lot of the music, the hip hop that's coming out of Portland has been really great, and a lot more African-American representation in music is one of the main things I've seen.
And for you, I don't know if this is a fair question to ask, opportunities for you as an artist, how are they affected by the fact that you're African-American? Does it create opportunities? Does it make it more difficult in some ways to get yourself in front of people or to sort of have opportunities offered to you?
I think it's gotten a little easier in a sense. I think people are looking to give a voice to more African-Americans, again, especially with the climate that we're in, the climate that we're in at the moment. But it's about time. So, I don't have any sort of reluctance to take those opportunities when they're given to me, because they haven't been given to us for so long.
I want to talk a little bit about your son. I suppose you had time to think about this even before your son was born 2 days ago. Do you wonder where you might go as an artist by virtue of the fact that you're now a father? And obviously it's a thing you can't really know.
Yeah. No, I do wonder. I will continue to be an artist. I know that. I think the fact that I have a son now is just, to me, it's just really exciting. As unknown as where my partner and I are going with him, every day is a new adventure. The work is going to follow that path. So I think it's really exciting for me.
Well, and have you had that experience in different ways when you moved from one place to another? When you, as you said, we've talked about how events outside mm-hmm. of you can sort of influence where you're going to go. So it's not the idea that you might sort of follow the path, whatever it is, that being a father and having a family offers you. Mm-hmm. It's not entirely. You've taken chances before. You've allowed your life and your circumstances to sort of dictate the choices you're going to make.
Yeah, exactly. No, I think it's only right, and with the progress that I've made as an artist and as a person, that those start to align themselves with each other, and that's kind of what's happening now. And I think that's led to the change, and I also think that's what's led to getting more opportunities as a public artist or as an artist in general, is being truthful and honest with myself as an artist, I think is visible to outsiders and to viewers.
No artist really maps out his or her path completely.
I'd imagine some do. Everybody's got their own thing, you know. For me, it's exciting to not have it mapped out and just kind of take it as it comes.
What have I forgotten to ask you?
Well, I guess we referenced the PCC show, which should be really great. It will be really great. Sam Hopple is curating it. And it's a show that kind of references the same work that I've been doing. Me, along with some other artists that are kind of speaking in that same voice. So that's really exciting. And then I'm also early October, I'm hanging work at the airport here, PDX, in the A terminal, I believe.
Are there several artists involved, or
it's just me? It's a solo show that I'm doing in the A terminal. But I didn't realize that there was as much art all over that airport as there is. It's amazing. Wendy Givens is the curator of that space, and she does a great job.
And that happens when?
I'm hanging that September 29th. So yeah, later. In about a month or so, I'm hanging that work, and it's up for about 6 months.
And the PCC Sylvania show, we don't know the dates on that.
I don't off the top of my head.
But it's coming in later in the fall and the winter.
I'm pretty sure it's October, sometime in October, and it's up for 6 weeks, like through November. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Late fall, early December, I believe.
You're everywhere.
Trying to be. Yeah. Trying to stay out there. Just trying to stay working.
Our guest today has been Jeremy Okai Davis, Portland painter. Jeremy, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO-FM, 90.7 Community Radio. My name is Eric Bartels. Thanks for joining us.